stand for the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. If you want to put a title, John, Jesus our Passover. Jesus our Passover. Good to see each one of you this evening. I'm glad you came back. I know many times people are away on their families. It's a good crowd for Sunday night, especially on a holiday. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, and that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. I'm glad that Christ was our Passover. Amen. And we'll be talking a little bit about that tonight, and then we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, which signifies the Passover. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just loving us and dying for us. Lord, not only that, but raising that third day. Thank you, Father, for the joy you've put in our heart, knowing that we have a home in heaven, and we're looking forward to seeing you one day, giving a brand new body, going to a place where no more sorrow, no more death, no more heartaches. Pray that you'll bless us now, Father. Help me to do well for you tonight. Thank you for this morning. What a glorious day you gave us. And thank you for the 17 young people that trusted you as Savior, and those that follow in believers' baptism, and all that came and rejoiced. Lord, we just thank you for filling your building, and thank you for another full building tonight. And Lord, come down and meet with our hearts, and bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. By the way, not to change anything, but I heard on the news that they rescued that captain of the ship there, and we're glad for that. And just like Jesus rescued us, amen? And what a great day. You'll always remember Resurrection Sunday was the day he got rescued. I'm going to tell you, the whole world got rescued on Resurrection Sunday from their sins. And he got rescued from death, and that's what Christ did for us on Resurrection. He rescued us, amen? And tonight I want to share with you just a few things. For even Christ, our Passover was sacrificed, it said there in verse 7. You know, I want to give you just a brief history of the slaying of the lamb. Share a little bit from Exodus about the Passover, how God started with Moses. So let's, real quickly, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3:21. How did all this stuff start, preacher? God made Adam and Eve. Aren't you glad it wasn't Adam and Steve? The Bible doesn't teach same-sex marriages. It teaches a man and a woman. And that's the way God wants it. And anything besides that is not morally right. It's wrong. It's against God. Husband and wife. And God gave Adam a wife because he said it was not good that man be alone. You that have wives, you ought to be thanking God for your wife. They're a blessing from heaven, blessing from the Lord. And Scripture says in Proverbs, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's a good thing you got going for you there, Bobby. Amen? And but tonight we want to look at Genesis 3 just for a brief moment. God had a first couple, but you know, as we know the truth, sin entered in. Satan always gets in there, doesn't he? Deceived Eve, and they partook of the fruit, whether it was an apple or a grape. I don't know what it was. This is a forbidden fruit. And they took, and they sinned against God, and there they stood condemned and naked and doomed. But if you look at 3:21, and unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them? Here you see Adam and Eve standing before God, naked and guilty, like all men stand before God. And God did something very special for them. He clothed them. We believe he killed a lamb. See, an innocent lamb had to be slain, and that's how they were clothed. By the way, it makes me think about the scripture New Testament. In the New Testament, Adam and Eve were standing there naked and before God, and he killed an innocent lamb. It's amazing, right before Jesus, they took Jesus. There was a man that came before Jesus, and he had nothing underneath his garment, and the robe came off, and he fled from Jesus naked. I've shared this with you before. Years and years I read that, and always wondered why the Lord put that in the Bible. And I believe one, and I didn't read it out of a book, didn't get it on a tape. I begged God, surely there's a truth you want me to see there. And I really believe God gave me a truth on that. See, that man in the New Testament, it's amazing. Here Adam and Eve stand here before God, and they're naked. And they need a lamb to be slain to cover their sin. And 4,000 years later, man's condition with God has not changed, because Jesus was God in the flesh. And there a man stood before God naked, condemned. And what happened when the man fled? They took Jesus, the Lamb of God. And what did he do? He went to Calvary. The Lamb of God was slain for the nakedness of all mankind. Amen? How many are glad Jesus loves us? Well, you know, there's people that teach in the Old Testament people are saved by works. Don't you believe it? People have always been saved by the blood. It's always been the shed blood of the Lamb. Now, I know that the Old Testament lambs didn't save anyone. All they were was a type and picture of the true Lamb that was come. But those that would slay the Lamb, they had faith that the real Lamb was going to come in the future. Can anyone say amen? And so we see that right from the very first couple, the first two people, God was redeeming people, not by works, not by doing good deeds. He was redeeming by the shed blood of the Lamb. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. They had twins, Cain and Abel. Look at Abel. Let me look at Genesis 4:4. Abel also brought up a firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Why did Abel offer up that lamb? Because their mom and dad, Adam and Eve, they taught them the way you come before God is you offer up a lamb, because God requires a blood sacrifice from a lamb to cover our sin. Are you with me? I know all the blood of bulls and goats can take away our sin, but the Bible says, he goes on in Hebrews, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen? And as I said, these were a type of that which was to come. And so we see even Abel, God had respect. By the way, his brother would not do it. And God didn't honor his sacrifice. He tried to give the works of his hand, the best of his labor. See, you can't work. You can labor all you want. The best of your labor can't get you right in God's eyes. And so we see that. So even from Genesis. And now go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse 12. God told Moses, I'm going to set you free from the bondage of Egypt, and all that I have is all I want you to do is to shed the blood of the lamb and you'll live. All they have that shed blood, put that blood on the doorpost. You know the story. And all they had the blood on the doorpost, they lived. When the Spirit of God came, he said, when you have the blood, I will pass over you. See, folks, it's always been the blood of the lamb. How many can say amen? Verse 12 says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt. Are you with me in Exodus 12? I got Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn land, both man and beast, against their gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a token to you for upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who can say amen? I'm really glad for that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And verse 14, and this day shall be unto you a memorial. God does believe in memorials. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for just a few days. No. What's the word? Forever. You're going to keep it forever. We keep it in Christ. And for 1,500 years, Brother Mark, all the way up to the time of Christ, they offered up those lambs. They offered up them lambs. But then one day Jesus Christ was on the Jordan River. And John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Can anyone say amen? Amen. By the way, if you're still in Exodus, look at verse 24. 12:24. And you shall observe this thing and for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. I mean, Exodus 12:24. How long are you going to do it? Forever. And it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Lord will give you according as he had promised. He always keeps his promises. That ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, what mean you by this service, the slaying of the lamb? That you should say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's, what is it? The Lord's Passover. Who has passed over the houses of the children of Israel. Now notice, it's the Lord's Passover. And for 1,500 years, the children of Israel offered up lambs all the way till Christ was born. But by the way, 2,500 years before that, from Adam all the way up, they were offering up lambs. But now they had a specific time to do it. Are you with me? And so this Passover came. Then 1 Corinthians says, Christ is our Passover. No, we don't need to slay the lambs no more. The lamb has been slain for eternity. And I don't have tonight, but if you'll study the book of Hebrews, you look at the last two or three chapters in that, from chapter 9 on through the end of 13, you'll see how important that lamb was and how important that sacrificial life of Christ was. He sacrificed his life. He gave his blood for you and I. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And so the children of God did this for the next 1,500 years. Look at Isaiah 53. What a tremendous chapter. Prophecy of Christ. 700 years before Christ was ever born. The prophet Isaiah. Look at verse 3. I'm in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely Christ, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he was, wasn't he? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He didn't have any. He became sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought us a lamb to the slaughter. You know, when we were talking today about the disciples not remembering? They knew the Old Testament prophecy. Wonder why they forgot the words of Isaiah. Hello? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Look down at verse 10. You that took the Romans class, you know this verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yeah, no wonder Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to forsake him so all our sins could be appropriated. The Bible says, and he was a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that word propitiation means, Mark, it means, it's a big word, it's even hard to say sometimes, propitiation. It means what Jesus did on the cross by sacrificing, it satisfied an outraged holy God over sin. That's what that word means. His act on Calvary appeased, satisfied, and outraged, angered God over sin. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he had put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He did at Calvary. He shall see his seed, prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, talking about Christ, justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. If you're saved today, it's because of Christ. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured. How can anyone not get excited when you read this scripture? Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Man, I'm glad he was our go-between. I'm glad he was our defense lawyer. Amen. Scripture says in Timothy, don't stay there in Isaiah. I want to show you one more verse. The scripture in Timothy says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible then goes on in verse 6, who gave his life a ransom. I'm so glad that Christ purchased us. He bought us for Christ, for God. Amen? By the way, the purchase price was his own blood, his life. Remember I talked to you this morning when I preached, if you look at Isaiah 52:14, it's a prophecy how much Christ was brutalized. No one ever was brutalized. No one ever that ever walked the face of the earth was ever brutalized as much as Christ. It says in verse 14, it was a prophecy of Jesus being on the cross and being beaten. As many were astounded at his visage, the way he looked, his form. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. In other words, what it's saying there, he was so disfigured and so marred, nobody ever took that kind of punishment, ever. That's how much Christ loved us. That's what he did for you and I. Today we're celebrating his resurrection. By the way, I'm glad for the suffering also. Now, I realize if he wouldn't have rose, we would have no hope at all. They kind of go together, the dying and the raising together. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't take the resurrection lightly. It costs. Just like it, there's a great price to pay for freedom. Thank God for our soldiers of our country, men and women, and down through the past even. They've given their lives so you and I could be in church and I could preach the Bible. That's freedom. It's great to be free, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's been a price for over 200 some years. There's been a great price paid so we could have freedom. Freedom comes with a price. Just like he set those folks free in Egypt for their bondage, there was a price paid, and that lamb was the price. Jesus was the lamb that paid the price for you and I. Amen? And look at one more scripture with me. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, and then in a few minutes we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22. Well, wasn't it a beautiful day? What a beautiful day we had today. By the way, I hope this is not out of line, but America, if it wants to stay free, we better stay strong. The way you keep your freedom is by being strong. You have to. You don't want to dismantle your nuclear weapons. You want to keep them so people won't come and trot on our country. See, when you're strong, it's a deterrent to others. We better not do nothing. Hello? So for all these bleeding liberals that want to take all the weapons away and tear down our army, I want to tell you, you watch out. Don't you get in that group of people. Because that's definitely, you say, well, I've never heard it. You stay around me, you'll hear a lot of things. I'm a straight-laced fellow that just tells it just the way it is. The way you keep a great nation is you keep a strong nation. You young people, you listen to this old man. You don't want a weak nation. You want a strong nation. Because a strong nation, Brother Andrew, will protect your country. When a country like China or those larger countries, they can overrun us. If we didn't have a deterrent, you couldn't stop them. They already own us financially. It'd be nothing for them to take us over if we didn't have something military to stop it. That didn't cost you a cent, and it's free, amen? Even on the Lord's resurrection, amen? It's been in me. I had to get that out. And I thank God for our servicemen. Thank God for our country. Look at one last scripture with me. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Just wrap me in the old flag. I love the red, white, and blue. I love the stars and the stripes. I don't know what's going on with our president, but I'll be honest with you. I'm proud to be an American. I love America. I think it's a great place to live. I don't think all the people are bad in America. And I kind of like the ideals of America. And I know he made a statement. I mentioned this morning, and I mentioned it the other day. It really rubbed me. I'll probably be mentioning it for a while. He said America was not a Christian nation. I got news for you. America was founded on the Word of God. Amen. Your coin and your dollar says, "In God we trust." Yes. Mr. Obama better wake up and see what country he's in. Right. Scary to have a president like that. See, well, boy, I don't appreciate that. That's all right. It's starting to fade, and I'm starting to get ornery, Bobby. I can't help it. I just love America. Amen. And I want to keep something for you kids. When you look at Bud Boggs and Carl McDaniel, a lot of these veterans here, some of the ladies are veterans that served. Some of our soldiers in here right now, they've served so we could have freedom. Don't take it for lightly. And don't let a liberal, no matter if they're Republican or Democrat, to tell you that you don't need a strong army. That's the only thing that keeps you free. And that, of course, the grace of God, that's what really keeps you free, is God's grace watching over us and mercy. Last scripture, I'm trying to get to it, Brother Mark. Luke 22, verse 7. Jesus, now he's getting ready. He's having the Lord, what they call the Last Supper. He's going to have the Passover with his disciples. We're in Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread. And when the Passover must be killed, the Passover, who was the Passover? Jesus. See, he came. He was now our Passover. They didn't realize it. He was their Passover that year. He was the lamb that was going to be slain. Look at verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go prepare us a Passover that we may eat." And he said to them, "Where wilt thou prepare we there that thou we prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when we enter the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him in the house that he entered in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto him, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room." Boy, one day we're going to be in the upper room with Christ. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen, up in heaven. And look at verse 13. And they went out and found as he had unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Watch these next verses. He said to them, look at verse 15. "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I want you to know something, disciples. We're doing just like the Mosaic laws. We're keeping the Passover, but this year, even though I am the Passover. I'm the one that's going to really suffer for you for eternity. And there'll be no, you don't have to offer up no more lambs, because I'm going to be the eternal lamb that's sacrificed forever. Amen? But notice, before I suffer, he was already knowing that he was a sacrificial lamb. He knew he was the Passover sacrificial lamb. Look at verse 16. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this as divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." By the way, the fruit of the vine is not alcohol. It's fresh grape juice, the fruit of the vine. You go out and make, it's grape juice. It's not fermented. Jesus never drank any fermented alcohol. It's wrong to drink alcohol. Jesus never drank. I love most alcoholics. Yeah, Jesus drank. He never, no, he didn't. He didn't drink at all. He drank the fruit of the vine. That's fresh squeezed grape juice. It's not fermented. And the Bible over and over says, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever taketh as there is deceived thereby." Proverbs 23 says, "Who hath woe? Who hath redness of eyes? Who hath wounds without cause? They that tarry long at the wine. Goes on and says it later. It says, you that drink that wine that's fermented, the alcohol, it's like a snake. It bites you. Watch out. Satan wants to bite you with the alcohol. You know, I was thinking, I've been saved since I got saved when I was 20. And I'm 60 years old, so I've been saved for 40 years. Hallelujah. And I don't think I've drank alcohol probably in the last 39. I don't think I've had a taste of alcohol in 39 to 40 years. It's been it was a couple after I got saved. I had a couple beers, just a few afterwards. But I think I've been close, not quite, but almost 40 years since I took a drink of alcohol. You say, well, how could you do that? Easy. I just changed fountains. Now I drink tons of iced tea. No sugar. Amen? Why not no sugar? Because I'm already sweet enough. Listen to me. God reached down and saved me. You're here battling alcohol. You listen to this preacher. Greater is he that's within you, 1 John 4:4, than he's against you. The Bible says we're overcomers through him. I'm going to tell you, my problem isn't alcohol. My problem is pizza. We all got our problems. Now I'm trying to win that problem. But I know one thing, we can all win through Christ. Whatever your problem is, whatever your challenge is, whatever your thing that you're facing that's hard for you in life, take it to Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Get strength from him. Draw nigh to him. Seek him. Call upon him. Let him make the difference for your life. He will if you let him. Amen? I'm a proven guy. I was an alcoholic, Brother Coolidge, before I got saved. And God's taken me and dried me up. Amen? I'm more excited now for Jesus than I ever was. Amen? Now I've got the Spirit in me, but I got the right kind of Spirit. Amen. Look at the, I'll just read a couple more verses. I lost where I was. Look at verse 15. And he said with you, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Then look down at verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is what? My body. My body. He gave himself. My body, which is what? Given for who? Yeah, he gave it for us. This do in remembrance of me. When you take the Lord's Supper tonight, some people teach that you're drinking the body and taking the body of Christ, and that's not true at all. That's Welch's grape juice that you're drinking. That's an unleavened bread. And all that, when all you're doing today is you're doing it in remembrance of what he did for us 2,000 years ago. There's no saving power in what we're going to do. It's to glorify him for what he did do. But he said, this is my body, which is given for you on Calvary. He went there, and from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he suffered and agonized for you and I. And then he said, verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is what? Shed for you. My blood, disciples, was shed for you. My body was given for you. You know what? We ought to love our Savior because he gave all for us. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, dear God, for this special time where the church is going to take the Lord's Supper. And I pray that you'll bless our people. Oh God, I thank you for every man and lady, boy and girl. And Lord, when they take the Lord's Supper tonight, may they think about all that you did for us. And without you doing it, we have no hope. And Father, we praise you for the shed blood. We praise you for the slain body that you gave so willingly, openly for us. Pray that you'll bless us now. And Lord, help us to serve you all the days of our life. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would the deacons come?